Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, now on alternate Fridays at 12:10, with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to talk about new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal facing Jefferson County as we roll through the last half of 2020 and into 2021. Well, today, Siobhan and I decided we should acknowledge good people doing good work, something that struck me between the eyes when I first moved to Jefferson County. At every corner I turned. Siobhan Canty, welcome once again, Community Tides.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be with you again. And indeed, we have such an amazing community. I'm excited to tell you some of the stories today.
That'd be great. I'm looking forward to hearing those stories. First of all, let's get a little bit of a recap. It's been about 14 days since last we got together. So what's happening out there with the foundation and the community?
Yeah, so we're seeing our systems holding pretty steady. So in terms of food systems, our food banks continue to provide about 700 boxes a month to local families, and they're really interdependent with other organizations like the Farmers Market, the Food Bank Farm and Gardens, the North Olympic Development Council, and their Farmers Program, which pays contracts to farmers to provide food to our local food banks. And so that system is working really well. We want to just thank everyone who's involved in that and just know that, as far as we know, that the folks who need food are currently getting it. On the financial services front, helping with rent and utilities, St. Vincent de Paul continues to provide those services. So if anyone listening needs some additional assistance, St. Vincent de Paul can help with utilities. And OLECAP received an additional, I think it was $300,000 to help with rent and mortgage payments through now and the end of the year. So OLECAP is continuing to do great work in that regard, and we encourage folks who might need those services to contact them. That might be especially important as our unemployment continues to be negotiated at a federal level, and that extra $600 is not available to folks right now. So please, if you need assistance, go to OLECAP, because we don't want this time of challenge to turn into insurmountable debt for anyone, or eviction. Even though there's a moratorium right now, that past rent can really add up. So we want to prevent that from happening, and OLECAP's doing a great job at that. In terms of housing, we do continue to have an ongoing debate around the fairgrounds. The shelter is open 24/7 at this point. The Coast volunteers are doing a great job at keeping folks supported there. They are, as far as we know, at capacity, and there are some additional folks living without housing in our community. And it continues to be a real challenge for us, both in terms of the amount of shelter and transitional housing that's available through the more permanent placement of families in homes. And we have extraordinary housing organizations like Bayside, like Habitat for Humanity, and still there are people who are in our community who need some shelter and support. So we're really looking at ways we can work with the state-level leadership to change some policies around tiny homes and increase decrease the public health hazards of building tiny home communities. That's an absolute must for us in terms of solving the housing challenge for even temporary tiny homes. So that's where that effort lies. And then in terms of mental health, we are seeing a dramatic increase in the number of people who are suffering negative mental health impacts from the pandemic. And I just, Chris, really want to stress this. You know, we do pretty much every time we're on the radio together, but it's really getting more and more difficult, particularly as working families have gone back to school, their children have gone back to school, and they have to go work, and we're really in a child care desert, and just the pressures have been extraordinary on parents and on young people and on teachers and administrators. And So everyone, we want to encourage you to just really reach out to each other, reach out to someone, talk about it, ask for support. The NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, their toll-free number is 800-950-6264. We can't underestimate the unique circumstances that all of us are dealing with right now and just the stress in being in unknown territory. So reach out. There are folks who want to help you, whether it's your neighbor, your family, or someone you don't know on the other end of a hotline. There is help out there. There are a couple of new developments on the horizon. They're in terms of the arts organizations that we have in our community. They're just doing an extraordinary job at even surviving this. Centrum, for example, and Port Townsend School of the Arts have expanded their classes and seminars to be available online, and they're doing a great job at not only including the local audiences that they've always had, but actually increasing their audiences through doing marketing beyond the boundaries of Jefferson County. So they're doing a great job. There is an art grant-making round that the city is sponsoring right now. Deadline is November 13th. So if you are working for or with an arts organization and you have lost money because of a canceled event over the last few months, go to the city website. And you can find a link to the application. Again, that deadline is on the 13th. We also have the United Good Neighbors campaign launching on November 14th. That's an opportunity for everyone to support the core operations of these frontline organizations that are helping folks navigate through this, so basic human needs organizations. So givejefferson.org will launch on November 14th, and that will be really the next round of community-wide COVID response. All of those applications have been received, and we're working to get that campaign up and running. So 28 organizations will be involved in that effort. And finally, we just wanted to give a shout-out to all of the community members who are volunteering their time on the Interlocal Collaborative Committee, which has been working to identify projects that can be quote-unquote shovel-ready should this community get more federal funding to do resilience and recovery work. So everything from affordable housing to child care to job creation and scaling our food systems in the event of even more need. These are the kinds of projects that groups of local volunteers have been coming together to define. And all those were due this week. So thank you to everyone who worked on those and to the government leaders that are listening to the community need at this time and getting us as ready as we can be to receive some additional state and federal funding. So I think that's a quick update on the landscape that we're seeing from here, Chris.
Well, that's a lot, Siobhan. And one of the two or three of the things that struck me is that, number one, we're all not only organizationally and communally in a bit of a twilight zone, but also personally. And your point about not being afraid to talk to other people, even if you're just a good friend as a sounding board or a professional, it's not any kind of a stigma. There's no stigma attached to it. We all need one another, and that's what these organizations are there for.
And one of the dark sides of our community, and I know, we all feel lucky to live here and love where we live, but we do have some big challenges, and one of them is our suicide rate. It is higher than our state and national averages, and now is the time. There are a lot of folks here who live here because we want to be somewhat isolated, but this is going further than any of us have gone before. So it's real in our community. And yeah, thank you for stressing that even more.
And all the good people out there doing that good work, doing good work in general throughout our community, throughout the county. I know that you had earmarked some folks that you'd like to kind of acknowledge, and I have a couple of questions as we go, but I think it's really important to acknowledge these people because they're not just do-gooders. They're actually in the trenches, and they're actually making things happen. And that's a big difference.
It's also just a huge statement about the impact that one person can make. And there really is a bridge between the folks that I'm about to share their stories with you on and the question of mental health. Because sometimes when we feel like we've lost so much, the most important thing we can do is give something away and help someone else. And these are folks who have really turned up the volume on their community engagement and helped to get so many through this. So I'm so grateful that you asked, because so many people deserve to have some recognition. And I'll just start with the volunteer food bank managers that we have in East Jefferson County. I want to just recognize Mike and Eloise Loggenbach in Brennan, Wesley Tippins in Quilcene, Mike Bach in Hadlock, Shirley Moss in Port Townsend, and Daisy Bach on the countywide level for keeping our food systems operating at a greater scale. Not many people know that all of our food banks are volunteer run, largely. So what an extraordinary level of service they're providing to our community.
You know, Siobhan,
What
do you think is the consistent factor that keeps these volunteers doing what they do? What propels them? Or is it sort of an individual question that we would need to ask each and every one of them?
No, I mean, I think we do need to ask how someone would want to get engaged. But really, at the core of it, what every person wants to know is that they've made a difference in through their lives in this world. And I think that particularly in the area of a food bank, for example, for those folks who their how needs to include having direct contact with other people and doing really individual support one-on-one, that's the perfect place for them to be, because they can see by handing a family a box of food that their life has made a difference. There are other folks who feel like they can work a little more behind the scenes and make a difference that way. And I'll give you an example. Ben Bauermeister, he's an extraordinary volunteer leader of the Connected Students Initiative. He also volunteers on the boards of other nonprofits in our community. But Ben is a good example of someone who is a systems thinker, systems worker. He's behind the scenes, but he's making sure that education is available to all of our students throughout East Jefferson County by ensuring connectivity to their online education now. So some folks like to have that really direct interaction, and other people can work behind the scenes. And certainly there's enough need in our community right now that if anyone listening is thinking of volunteering, you can find the right situation for you. You don't have to do anything that is uncomfortable. We can certainly help make that possible. Another place to go is Skill Nation. SkillNation.org is doing quite a lot of work in terms of placing volunteers right now, particularly in mentoring for young people. And Ben is also involved in Skill Nation. So we just encourage folks to step up and make sure that their own needs are being met. But certainly the future of our community is right now being shaped by these kinds of volunteers.
Yeah, and Siobhan, you and I were talking it would be good to have Ben on the show just to sort of uncover what's behind the scenes and the good work that he's doing. And I think that would be an entirely separate segment that we could do on this wonderful guy.
I think that would be incredible, because I think in addition to having everyone get to know Ben a little more, I think also there's some intricacies in the question of the Connected Students Initiative that we all need to be aware of. For example, no matter how Ben tries, there's going to be a certain percentage of young people who cannot access their education because the internet right now simply does not reach those parts of Jefferson County. And that's something that we need to understand and work on going forward, that broadband and connectivity is critical. It's a basic human need now. It's a utility. It's not an extra. So how are we going to deal with that? And I look forward to having that conversation with Ben when he's on.
Yeah, and Siobhan, in the 4 minutes or so that we have left, I know that there's some other people that we want to really get out there and ring the bell. So Who else do you have in mind?
Indeed. I would like to recognize the community members of the community build that's happening right now, both in Port Townsend and one that's being considered down in Hadlock. But the one in Port Townsend is underway, and there's a group of community members who took it upon themselves to step up to build 12 tiny homes for people who are living without shelter. We had mentioned that in the opening. And so a big thank you to them. I want to send out a shout out to David Engel, who's the interim superintendent at Chimicum Schools. He was comfortably retired before he got the call to step in and help Chimicum weather some unexpected transition. And so just a real shining example of someone who's willing to step in when challenge calls, but also who's applying his unique skill set. As most of you probably know, David is the retired superintendent of Port Townsend School. So it's great to see him back in action, and we're grateful to him for his willingness to do that. Wanted to also lift up a couple of executive directors. One is Amanda Milholland. She was the executive director of Jefferson County Farmers Market for over 5 years, and she's just left her job. So Amanda, thank you for the incredible service you've done. And the farmers market is such a key part of our culture and our community, and we're so grateful for your leadership. And to Wendy Bart, the new executive director of Olympic Peninsula YMCA, welcome on board. She's joined us as an ED here in the midst of the pandemic, and she's done an incredible job at providing additional after-school care for our children and working with a team of youth service-providing organizations to create a new family resources navigator position that was just funded by the CARES Act funding. And so just really want to give her a shout-out for navigating these times so well, especially as a new member of our community. And finally, I'd recognize the Johns, John Cantlin and John Hayes, the volunteers that keep St. Vincent de Paul running. There are many others behind the scenes. They're the most visible. But they just do an extraordinary job at meeting people literally where they are. They will drive to them and make sure that they've got money for food, for utilities, just such big hearts and such huge commitment. And these are just a small group of folks. There really are so many who are keeping this community moving forward. And we just encourage everyone to step in, especially if you're feeling a little blue. Step in, work with some other folks in your community, and try to find ways that lift your spirits by helping other folks.
Yeah, and we'll talk next time about some of the amazing local executive directors, just acknowledging keeping their organizations alive through this time, this odd time that we're in, and. I know maybe you could just rattle off their names quickly because we could get into that more deeply later on.
I would love to do that. Yeah, we spend so much time talking about food and shelter and basic needs, but there are plenty of EDs who are keeping their organizations running, like Denise Winter at Key City Public Theater, Betsy Davis at the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building, Claudia Coppola at Olympic Neighbors, and our very own Kate Ingram at KPTZ. These are not always seen as frontline organizations, but they're key to the survival of our community. So thank you to all of them and to the other EDs that are doing such great work.
Siobhan Canty, thank you, as always, for joining me today in Community Tides as my co-host. And we shall see you soon. And we shall get together soon. Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, alternate Fridays at 12:10. Co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. We're talking about the new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal facing Jefferson County as we roll through the last half of 2020 and into 2021. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.